All right, Tavosi, I'm sorry. I ask, I'm really on a serious note, I ask for mechila. I apologize. All right, Tavosi, let's begin. So we are picking up Emirat Hashem on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis 31b, and we are picking up. Good. Benasat Lamasek, as you know.
Aniya Isha.
Perfect. Aniya Isha. So we are two dots, which are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. Aniya Isha, Anitzaves, Imacha Bazeh. Arushim Levi. So we'll say, so remember again, fast forwarding a little bit. So now Chana's had a child. His name is Shmuel. And now she comes back to the Mishkan with little Shmuel. Well, little Shmuel. Which sounds like a storybook, right? With Shmuel, and she comes over to Eli and she says to Eli, "I am the woman. I'm the woman who is standing with you." So she identifies herself to Eli as that it was me who was here, you know, a little while ago. From here, you see that halacha l'maisa, you're not allowed to sit within 4 amos of someone who is davening. So the idea over here is that she's saying to Eli, "I am the woman who is standing along with you." Now it's interesting. Why was Eli standing? Eli was standing because Chana was davening. So therefore, again, she identifies it as, "I was standing along with you," but in reality, he was standing next to her because she was davening. So from here, you see that halacha l'maisa, you can't go ahead and stand. You can't sit in the presence of someone who is davening. Okay, so we'll say, so by the way, well, okay, fine. Elanar hazeh ispalati, I davened for this child. Rabbi Lazar, Shmuel mora halacha lefnei rabbo haya. This is very interesting, Gemara. Shmuel paskin halacha in front of his Rebbe. Now, I will say, now what does this mean? So one is not allowed to paskin halacha in the presence of his Rebbe because, well, first of all, it's disrespectful. But more than that, the Maharsha brings down, like on a deeper level, it's fundamentally, like theologically disruptive. Yiddishkeit is predicated on the concept of Mesorah, transmission from one generation to another. As such, there has to be a certain level of reverence that a student has for his teacher. Now, that being said, there's a protocol. Like if the teacher does something wrong, teacher makes a mistake, right? The teacher teaches something in an incorrect way. So lemaisa, there is a mechanism through which a student could correct a teacher, through which a student could point something out to a teacher. But lemaisa, a student is not supposed to paskin halacha in front of his rabbi. So now the Gemara says, Shmuel paskin halacha in front of Eli. What happened? So the Gemara says, Shenemar, vayishchatu esapar, vayavu esanar el Eli. So the pasuk says, so they shechted the par, they shechted the cow, and they brought the cow and the lad Shmuel to Eli. What's the juxtaposition? Because they slaughtered the cow, they brought Shmuel to Eli. What's going on over here? Ella Amarlan Eli, Karu Kohen. So they brought an animal to be slaughtered, a sacrificial animal, and Eli said, "Okay, get a Kohen to come and slaughter the animal." Chazinu Shmuel. So Shmuel saw that they were looking for a kohen to shech the animal. Amar lehu, lama lehu, basar kohen lemishchat, shchita bizar kshera. So Shmuel said to him, "Guys, what are you doing? Why are you looking for a kohen to shech the animal? After all, you're allowed to shech a sacrifice. Even a non-kohen is allowed to shech a sacrificial animal." So we'll say, so this is actually very important because for those of us who are not kohanim, who very much want to be kohanim, right? So when the Beis HaMikdash comes, there's a certain feeling of exclusion. The good news is, what can you do if you're not a Kohen? You could shecht. Now, it's not. I feel like it's not much of a consolation prize because that presupposes you want to start slaughtering animals, right? But Lamaisa, it's good to know. So Shmuel says, "Why are you looking for a Kohen? Halach Lamaisa, anyone is allowed to shecht. Anyone is allowed to shecht an animal." Asuela kamedi Eli. So ultimately, again, they brought Shmuel before Eli. So Amarle Minalochaha. So Eli asked Shmuel, this is interesting. He says, "Shmuel, how do you know that even a non-kohen is permitted to shech the animal?" Amarle Shmuel said, "Miksiv v'shachat ha-kohen v'hekriv." Sorry, v'shachat ha-kohen v'hekriv ha-kohanim ksiv. Does the pasuk say the kohen will slaughter? No, rather, what does it say? The kohen will offer. What do you learn from here? Mikabala ve'elech mitzvas kuhuna. We'll say it's actually interesting. The only time you need a kohen is from Kabbalah. What's Kabbalah? After you shech the animal, what they would do is they would receive the blood from the spot of the slaughter. They would receive the blood in a utensil. That's called Kabbalah. That has to be done by a kohen. So I will say, so from Kabbalah and on, you need a kohen. But before Kabbalah, i.e. shechita, slaughtering, it's kosher even by a non-kohen. So the Gemara says, "Mikan l'shchita shekser bizar." Amale, Meimer Shapir Kamer. So Eli said to Shmuel, "You know what? You're right. However, miu mora halacha b'fnei Rab Chaat." But Shmuel, you paskin halacha in front of me, in front of your Rabbi, and therefore the halacha is v'chala mora halacha b'fnei Rabo chayiv misa. Whoever paskins halacha in the presence of the Rebbe is chayiv misa. Now, Bizi is getting nervous, all right? Now, again, remember, it doesn't mean misa in a beis din. It means misa b'dei shamayim, hands of God. It's a serious transgression. So what happened? So the Gemara says, Asya chana, v'katzavcha kamei. So chana comes, and you can imagine, Rosi, we know, we've gone through like the entire exhaustive story of Chana trying to go ahead and get a child, right? So Lamaisa, now she hears Eli saying that her son is liable to death at the hands of heaven. So she starts crying out. So what happens? So Chana says, Eli, don't do this. You remember me, right? I'm the lady who was all heartbroken. I'm the one who was all heartbroken. And davened for a child. You cannot take him away from me now. Amar Le, this is incredible. Shafki li de'anche uba ina rachami biav l'cha rabba minei. So it's so fascinating. So Eli says to Chana, listen, just let the punishment come upon this child. He'll die. I'll daven for you, and you'll have a son who's even greater. That's what Eli said. So Eli said, this is incredible. Amra lei el hanar hazeh hispalati. She said, I don't want another child. I davened for this son. I davened for this son. This is the child that I want. So thank you for the offer to replace him, but no. And so once again, I'll say it's also incredible that like you see over here that it's almost like the inherent maternal role is constant advocacy for a child. It's right, isn't it interesting? Chana is like the consummate advocate. Right? So before Shmuel's even born, she's advocating for him to be born. Now again, he's a little kid. He messes up. Who comes to the rescue and the kid messes up? Mom, right? Mom comes. Right? Dad is often. I told you it's going to happen, right? I told you it's going to happen. Or I hope that you learned the lesson from this. And mom is always, you know, mother, Ima, is always there, defending, helping, advocating. Really incredible. The Chana himin daberes alibo. So we'll say, so remember again, Chana, the pasuk now, so we're jumping back. So remember again, now, this is back to the part where Chana was first davening for a child. So the pasuk says, Chana was talking to her heart. Amar Belazim, Mishra Biyosi ben Zamra, al iske liba. She was davening literally again regarding her heart. What does this mean? Amar lefan avribono shalom, koma sheberasa bi'ishala barasa davar achad avatala. So the Shmarach, every part of a woman's body, you created for purpose. Einayim liros, eyes to see, aznayim lishmoa, ears to hear, chotem lahariach, a nose to smell, pe ledaber, a mouth to speak, yadayim lazos b'melacha, hands to do work. So we'll say, by the way, it's interesting, by the way, that that's the point of hands, right? It's interesting, right? The job of hands is to do something, right? Create something with your hands. Raglayim lahalech bohem, feet to walk, dadayim lahanik bohem, and breast to nurse. Dadayim halalu shenasata alibi lama, lo lahanik bohem, tainli ben va'anik bohem. So she said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't make it that a part of my body is useless. It's so profound. In other words, she's saying, you created me physically intact. Allow me to fully utilize my body to its fullest capacity and give me a son to nurse. So Amar Rabbi Elazar Mishra Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra. Kalei Yoshe B'tanis B'Shabbos, Korin Lo Gezer Adino Shal Shevim Shana. This is incredible. If you fast on Shabbos, ultimately, again, even if you have a negative decree against you for 70 years, it's torn up. Now here's what's interesting over here. What this is really talking about, the Marsha points out, is like, let's say a person has a terrible dream. So this concept called Tanis Chalom, that you fast to annul any potential meaning in the dream. If you fast on Shabbos, fasting on Shabbos is even more powerful. Right? So we'll say, why is fasting on Shabbos more powerful? It makes a lot of sense. What is everybody doing on Shabbos? They're fasting, right? So again, so to go ahead and fast on Shabbos, fasting in general is difficult. But to fast on Shabbos when everyone else around you is eating, right, is even more difficult. So therefore, it's so powerful that if it rips up an evil decree of even 7 years. However, as much as he did a good thing by fasting, you also committed an avera. What's the avera? You fasted on Shabbos, right? Fasting on Shabbos causes the negation of enjoyment of Shabbos. So, my takante. So, how do you remedy this? It's interesting. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, leisiv ta'anisa l'ta'anisa. You have to fast another time to make up for the fast day that you observed. So, you need a fast day on the fast day. One more line. Amar Rav Elazar, People say, this is incredible Gemara. We'll begin it tonight, then we'll stop. Chana hiticha dvarav klape maila. Literally translated, it means Chana threw her words heavenward. Now, what does that mean? It means also that we're going to talk about this. We'll stop over here for tonight. But we're going to see that Chana essentially spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in what would otherwise be deemed a disrespectful tone. A disrespectful tone. That's the lashon of hiticha dvara klape mala, to throw your words at Shamayim. So we'll say, so obviously not something to be replicated, not something to be done, but we're going to see a couple of different examples of people who did this with incredible success, others who did it with detrimental circumstances. We'll stop over here for today, Mosai. Again, my apologies for the tardy start, for the delay. Emir Hashem, I'm sorry? I'll do better. I'll do better next time. Tomorrow night is...